Blog Talk Radio.
And we are live for Fan for Racing, NASCAR, and Race Talk Review. We'll be talking about Bristol as well as Springfield tonight, as well as we have three big guests lined up for all of you tonight. Also joining me will be our co-host, James Bickford. He should be coming along here in just a few minutes. We are going to start off with our winner's circle at 8:40 tonight. In our winner's circle is Grant Infinger. He won on dirt out at Springfield, Illinois State Fairgrounds, this weekend in the ARCA Racing Series. So definitely looking forward to catching up with Grant Infinger. That will be at 8:40 p.m. Eastern Time. At 9 p.m., we have Dylan Lupton coming on board. He's with JGL Racing in the Xfinity Series, and he's going to be racing out at Road America this weekend coming up. So we'll talk to him a little bit about that, as well as his season with JGL Racing this year. Then at 9:30, James and I will be talking with Josh Williams. He is the spotter for the Woods Brothers number 21, driven by Ryan Blaney. And we'll talk to him a little bit about how he got into spotting and what it's like to be on the road every week with the NASCAR Cup Series and working with Ryan Blaney. So definitely looking forward to talking to all three of our guests here this evening. It should be a lot of fun. So definitely looking forward to chatting with everyone here tonight. Now, we do have a few things to talk about with regard to racing this weekend as well. We do have three races, three victories for Kyle Busch this weekend. And it's a lot of racing this weekend, starting with Wednesday night's race. Wednesday's race with the Camping World Truck Series really was pretty exciting to see a midweek race, and Kyle Busch did win that race. But there were a lot of other drivers that did really well in the Camping World Truck Series as well. And that's something that we need to take note of, because a lot of these drivers work really hard and do very, very well. Now, let me just tell you in the point standings for the Camping World Truck Series right now. Christopher Bell continues to lead. He's the only driver in that series with four victories. Followed by John Hunter Nemechek with two, Johnny Sauter with one, as well as Matt Crafton and Taz Gralla, all with one victory. Eight drivers go into the playoffs for the Camping World Truck Series. So the three drivers without victories at this point are Chase Briscoe, Ben Rhodes, Ryan Truex. So a lot to look forward to with all of these guys. Driver with the most playoff points right now, Christopher Bell, he has 24. Nemechek, 11. And Johnny Sauter, just one behind him with 10. Matt Crafton, 7. Kaz Gralla, 5. And all of the other drivers have one playoff point. So definitely some good things happening in that Camping World Truck Series. But joining me now is our co-host, James Bickford. So let's welcome him into the show, James.
Hey, how's it going? It's been busy, but I'm back, and I'm looking forward to talking about some racing.
Absolutely. It's going to be a fun night tonight, I can tell. And we were just talking about the Camping World Truck Series midweek race. Any comments that you want to have about that?
Well, I was actually at Bristol for the race, and it was so amazing. The crowds for the Xfinity and Cup Series were amazing, and the racing that it produced for those two races that I was able to attend was fantastic to watch. As a fan and as somebody who's been in the driver's seat, it was pretty fantastic. The battles between Kyle Busch and Kyle Larson at the very beginning, and to see a young up and comer like Eric Jones be at the front of the race the entire time, that's fantastic. And I'm looking forward to seeing the racing to come. But again, the racing for the top three divisions was fantastic.
Absolutely. Now, I want to get your thoughts, too, James, on the stage racing. What are your thoughts about stage racing this season? Has it improved the racing, in your opinion, or is it something that hasn't done what was expected?
So I'm with unpopular standing in terms of fans. I'm always for change. I like seeing change. I like seeing good change, positive changes, and I think stage racing is one of those many positive changes that NASCAR has made. I'm all for making the racing more entertaining and not draw on as long, and then still keep that racing factor in. So I'm a huge fan of the chase. I'm a huge fan of stage racing, obviously. And I'm a huge fan of what it does towards the playoffs with Martin Truex almost guaranteeing them each almost to Homestead with carrying those what's possibly going to be 50 points and more into Homestead. It's going to be great to see that your regular season performance is going to affect your playoff season performance. And that's something we didn't see too much of the years before when we implemented the chase, which gave some drivers that probably shouldn't have deserved to be in the top four and some drivers that did get eliminated. But, you know, you still have to race really hard. Your crew chief and everybody at the shop is still just as nervous messing up or making a mistake. So it is a really, really great feature to add the stage racing because it gives it more entertainment to have that caution, to have those races to the stage like Kyle Larson and Kyle Busch had. And I'm looking forward to seeing that stay and play a factor in the years to come.
I agree with you. I think the stage racing has been a very positive change. And I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out even during the playoffs this season as well. And you're right. All of those points that Martin Truex has accumulated and the potential that he has with all of those points being the leader at the end of the regular season and going into the playoffs is going to be a huge factor. And I think that's a positive thing. I really, really do. For all the reasons that you mentioned. And definitely, I hope it's something that's here to stay for a long, long time. Now, we've got our next guest coming up. He's from the ARCA Racing Series. He's an ARCA Racing Series champion. He's been racing in the Camping World Truck Series with Thor Sport Racing. And since the Camping World Truck Series had already had their race, he had some free time to go race some ARCA this weekend and went out to the Illinois State Fair in Springfield, Illinois, and came home with a victory. Grant Infinger had not won at Springfield before, although he has won on dirt twice before, back-to-back, at DuQuoin. So your thoughts are there about that victory.
I think it's awesome seeing somebody who gets a great opportunity in the truck series, go back to the ARCA series and apply the knowledge that he's learned and be able to dominate in the ARCA series. He's already the ARCA series champion, so he's already proved himself. He's proved himself in the Camping World Truck Series so far from what I've seen, and I'm looking forward to him moving up through the ranks, get to see a little bit more of him and see how well he does in Thor Sport and if he's in contention for a championship at the end of the year.
Okay, and I believe he is one of those drivers that has done, I think, very well because making that transition, James, I don't think is an easy transition to make when you're coming from like the ARCA Racing Series or the K&N Pro Series up into the Camping World Truck Series. But I do want to get into introducing our guest because he's here now. And we haven't talked to him much this year, although we have talked to him quite a bit in the past. I want to say, first of all, Grant, congratulations on your victory this weekend out at Illinois State Fairgrounds, and welcome back to Fan for Racing Radio.
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me on the show again.
Well, we're really we've really been looking forward to talking to you. We were just talking about the, making the transition from like the ARCA Racing Series or the Can-Am Pro Series, and I think you've done a really great job of doing that, Grant. But talk a little bit about how much of a transition that is.
There's definitely a good bit of differences. Really, the from an aero standpoint, it's a really big difference. It's some of the bigger tracks we go to, and from a tire standpoint, from you know your general tires that they use in the ARCA series to the Goodyears that we run in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, is just got a little bit of a different feel to it. So when you're trying to tune in your truck, it definitely you're looking for different things, and you know the competition standpoint, especially on restarts, is really, really intense in the truck series. But yeah, those are the three biggest things that I've had to kind of work on in transitioning into the truck series.
Okay. And like I said, I think you've done a fantastic job with that. But I want to bring it back to dirt. You've had two back-to-back wins on DeCoyne dirt, but this time you finally got a Springfield victory at Illinois State Fairgrounds. Talk about the victory there, because it wasn't necessarily easy. You had a little bit of competition this weekend going after that victory.
Yeah, definitely a really special weekend for us. You know, I really wasn't supposed to be driving this weekend. It was supposed to be my good friend Kelikovsky driving in, and he got injured really bad in February. So didn't think we were racing at all. And anyway, he ended up calling me a couple months ago, and he said, "Hey, we still want to race. Just want to have you in the car, and I'll call the shots." So that's what we did. And he couldn't really work on the car a whole lot. So his dad, Roy Kovsky, and a lot of their normal volunteers that help him every year were able to pitch in and get the car built and get us out there. And really, when we unloaded, we were pretty decent and just did some minor tweaks and able to qualify second and have some pretty decent track position. And we kind of got shuffled around a little bit when we made our pit stop. But able to rebound and things go our way on the restarts and able to get back up there and Austin Theriault, who's in Schrader's number 52 car, he put a lot of pressure on me there at the end, but felt like if I could just hold my line and get good forward drive off the corner, I felt like we could pull off the win, and that's what we did.
You certainly did, and I did read too that with Kelikovsky, you kind of made the arrangement that he's going to be behind the wheel next year, and you're going to be on top of the pit box.
Yes, for sure. So the only reason he wasn't in it this year is he just can't from a physical standpoint. He's still going through a lot of rehab with his accident, and in years when I'm not racing, I call the shots for him on the dirt races. So, you know, I haven't been able to do it every year, but anytime my schedule allows, I do it. And I was calling the shots for him at that race last year. Anyway, that's how it'll be again next year.
Okay. So I think that's fantastic. Now, our co-host last week, this week, and next week is James Bickford. So he's here tonight, and I know he's got some questions for you too, Grant. So I'm going to pass the mic over to James.
Okay, sounds good.
Awesome. You have a huge racing background from what I've watched, and you're always in a race car. Now, in your career, moving from stage to stage, which have you found to be the most difficult? You know, obviously the ARCA to Truck Series is very, very huge transition. But for you personally as a driver, what stage in your racing background has been the most difficult for you?
I mean, that's a good question. There's, I think for the most part, it kind of goes in trends, and a lot of it has to do with the help you have at the time and whether the setup knowledge you're getting is actually working or not. It is a background for me. I started racing in go-karts, then went to Legends cars, super late models, mostly around the Southeast, and then the ARCA cars and the trucks. I would say that the biggest competition standpoint, even now, is when you do the really big super late model shows like the Snowball Derby. I try to do that every year. I mean, those shows are extremely difficult. Everybody has really equal and really good equipment that goes to that race every year. So even, you know, when I first started racing super late models, any kind of the big shows, and the now is as far as I'm concerned, the Snowball Derby is one of the most difficult from a competition standpoint, because everybody's so close. You'll have 60 or 70 cars qualify, and they'll all be within a few tenths of each other. So, it kind of goes in trends. Like the top 15 to 20 in the truck series is really, really good, really good equipment, and really, really tough to pass. Somebody will hit it and make everybody kind of look silly, like Kyle Busch did to us last week. So it kind of goes in trends, and different series have different drivers and different teams that get hot for a certain amount of time. But I'd say overall, from just the fact of so many good quality competitive teams, I'd say the super late model stuff.
Interesting. That's a really interesting point. I know I'm from the West Coast, so the K&N series for us is the most competitive. But I know super late models is incredibly close. Now, you spoke about Kyle Busch. So my interesting question to you is, we've all had those moments where we've had a car that, you know, makes you feel like Kyle Busch. What car and what track, what moment did you feel like you had that car where it was just so dominant and you were so much better than the rest of the field?
2014 in Elko in the ARCA racing series, I had a car similar to that. Just so happens, Kelly Kovsky was a crew chief on that car. We were leading early and got spun out by a lap car and made it from the back all the way back to the lead in a matter of 20 or 30 laps. And just kind of made everybody look silly, and we weren't doing anything trick or crazy. We just hit it that night. And like I said, a lot like Kyle Busch did to us in the truck series on Wednesday night. Sometimes you just hit it and everything just kind of seems easy. And most of the time it's not like that at all. So it makes you really, really cherish those moments and those races when you do have it all going your way.
Oh yeah, I understand that. It definitely feels good from a driver's standpoint. When you have that car that's just dominant, you know you're going to win and just hope that nothing goes wrong. I'm sure that's what Kyle feels like. But racing with Kyle, what have you learned? What have you taken away from racing with guys like that? You spoke about restarts. What have you taken away from those drivers to help you yourself expand as a driver and become better each and every weekend?
The biggest thing is trying to nail your restarts and getting really, really using the air to your advantage. If you can get to the outside of somebody entering a corner, even if it's not the preferred groove, even if you are running in a part of the track that has less mechanical grip, the tires are gripping less. If you get that aero advantage on a guy in the truck series, then you got him. So they have to lift or you're both going to wreck. There's pretty much that's the only option. So, being able to use the air to an advantage, especially on restarts, is really big. And those guys, it's not just Kyle Busch. It's a lot of the really experienced guys are just really good at doing that. So, at Kansas earlier this year, I was leading and those guys were able to just basically put the brakes on me and drive by so I went back and analyzed that situation and they were able to use the air and slow me down, not wreck me, not turn me around or anything, but slow me down and then get off of me and get around me. So I've been trying to master that move myself, But there's lots of little things like that you learn each and every race, and that's what's been such a blessing for me this year, being able to run full time in the Truck Series is something that's been a dream of mine for a long, long time. So definitely truly blessed to be able to live out my dream right now.
And I'm sure there's a lot of drivers out there that wish you're in the same position. So it must be a great feeling to be in a competitive Truck Series. That's an awesome, awesome thing. I'm sure she has some more questions for you moving forward, and see what she might have to say or add on some of the questions I asked.
Okay. Back to Sharon here. Grant, I wanted to ask you, and I know that James kind of touched on this a little bit, but one of the big subjects that people are always bringing up is having the Cup Series drivers race in the lower tier series. We had Kevin Harvick go out to Sonoma Raceway and race out there. Kyle Busch, I think, is the one that most people have something to say about, although Jeff Burton today said when he goes down to the lower series like the Snowball Derby or the Super Late Models, nobody ever complains about Kyle Busch racing there. What are your thoughts from a driver's perspective about having Kyle Busch in those races, in the Camping World Truck Series or the Xfinity?
From a driver's standpoint, I mean, regardless whether it's Kyle Busch or any of the experienced Cup drivers, I love it. You know, as a driver and a racer, you want to, you grow up dreaming about, running with the best and beating the best. And excuse me, that's what I want to do. The only time that it kind of gets a little bit of a questionable situation for me is when those Cup Series guys bring in Cup resources. So for the most part in the Truck Series, that doesn't happen a lot because the Cup technology doesn't necessarily always relate to the truck technology. Sometimes it does, and it gives them a little bit of an advantage, or if they bring their Cup pit crew with them or something like that. So the only thing I want to be is on a level playing field and race them straight up. But I like the Cup drivers being in the field.
Okay. And you've got some good mentors with ThorSport as well, with the drivers that you're racing with there. You've got some great drivers that you can kind of talk to there. But I do want to get back to the dirt experience as well. I know you said that you hadn't really expected to race this weekend, but you got that phone call and you came to the track and was ready to go. Talk a little bit about your thoughts about racing on dirt, because I've always had this opinion that when drivers race on dirt, it makes them better on the asphalt. Your thoughts about that?
You know, I'd agree with that. If anybody hasn't experienced an ARCA Racing Series race on the dirt at the Springfield Mile or the DuCoin Mile, they need to go check it out because it's really fun racing, really competitive. This week it kind of took a lot of rubber, and it was more similar to asphalt than in years past. So a lot of times there's only one groove, and you still wanted to be at the bottom all day, but there was black rubber, for two and almost three grooves up. So I was able to make a few moves on the outside on some restarts, and in years past that's been pretty difficult. So you definitely. It's not like driving a dirt modified or a dirt late model from what I understand, and it's not like driving on asphalt. It's kind of somewhere in between with these big heavy cars. So it's a lot of fun. As a driver, it's one of my favorite times of the year to be able to do that. Very very similar. I had my first experience at Eldora in the truck a month and a half ago. So that was a lot of fun as well. So just something about our racers and dirt, we all have a lot of respect for the dirt guys, and even a lot of us asphalt guys, like I said, have a lot of respect for the dirt guys. But like we were saying earlier, just a really really special weekend given all the circumstances and a lot of the volunteers on Kelly Kowski Motorsports on Kelly's car there, they've helped me through my career. When I ran for Allgaier Motorsports in the ARCA Series in 2011, a lot of those same guys that, helped us this weekend were helping me then. So cool to kind of share that moment with your friends and guys that you've known and been around for so long.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think it's great. Kind of like a homecoming, it sounds like. I want to make sure that you have a chance to shout anybody or do any shout-outs that you want to do before we say goodbye, Grant, and then also make sure fans know how they can follow you and keep up with where you're going to be racing next.
Yeah, you know, it's very easy to follow me at grantandfinger.com or at grantandfinger on Twitter and grantandfinger on Facebook. So pretty simple. We try to keep all that stuff updated so everybody knows what's going on. And, the biggest guys I got to thank this year is Thor Sport Racing for this opportunity to race full-time in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. Like I said, just a true blessing, a dream come true for me. And Champion Power Equipment, who's going to be on the truck there at Canada in a couple weeks. And also Jive Communications and Ride TV and Curb Records. So those are the guys that have allowed me to live out my dreams. So thank you to those guys and like I said, go support them if you would.
Okay, and thank you for being here tonight, Grant. We hope we get another opportunity to talk to you somewhere before the season ends. And again, congratulations on a big win out at Springfield this weekend.
All right, thank you all for having me on.
Thank you.
Okay, take care now. All right, James, that was a great interview that we had here with Grant Infinger, normally a Camping World Truck Series driver, took some time out since they raced on Wednesday and was able to go out to Springfield this weekend on Sunday and race on the dirt and came home with a victory. Pretty fantastic for Grant Infinger.
Yeah, it's awesome to see it. A driver that gets an opportunity that can perform at the lower levels and then go back and take that confidence that you get from a win into the Truck Series. And it should be interesting how he capitalizes after that at the next Truck Series race. See how he does.
Absolutely, absolutely. Again, he is with Thor Sport Racing in the Camping World Truck Series, which is one of the top teams in that series. So I feel like he's getting a lot of good experience in the Camping World Truck Series this year. Let's talk about our next guest that's coming up here, Dylan Lupton. We've been talking with Dylan, as we have with you, since he raced in the Can-Am Pro Series days out there in the West. And now he raced some Camping World Truck Series. He's been racing in the Xfinity Series. He's raced some Monster Energy Cup Series races. It's always great to see that happening with some of these guys. Dylan is one of those guys that he's been racing with JGL Racing this season. It's a development team, and they don't always have a winning car, but Dylan Lupton's done some great things with JGL Racing this season.
Yeah.
Anything
and
you
want to
add there?
It's great to see him have opportunity in the higher divisions. It's tough for a driver coming up to just get into the best equipment. I think that he's going to develop as a driver. I think that he's going to do a great job with the team that he's at right now with JGL. He has a road course race coming up at Road America, which I'm really excited for because I've raced with him at Sonoma Raceway and Miller Motorsports Park, and he is a killer road course driver. He would have had a good week at Mid-Ohio, fortunately, due to some issues at a little bit back and finish, but if you watch him over the years, even Xfinity, he has been running top 10 and doing a great job. So it's going to be exciting to see him at Road America and really exciting to see him perform at a high level in the Xfinity Series.
Absolutely, and we know that is definitely going to happen. And he's with us now, so I'm going to go ahead and do the introduction. Again, Dylan has been on our show several times, so we always feel good about having return visitors. Dylan, welcome back to Fan for Racing Radio. It's good to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me back on tonight.
Well, we always look forward to talking to you, and we've been talking here a little bit about, making the transition from the Can-Am Pro Series up into the NASCAR Top 3. And I want to kind of talk to you about that as well, because we just had Grant Infinger on. We talked to him a little bit about that. Give us your thoughts about making that transition. What's the easiest part of the transition? What's the most challenging part of the transition?
Like you said, it's a big challenge. One, the hardest part is the level of competition. The Can-Am Pro Series, you'll have, 5 to 8 guys that are good quality drivers and good equipment. When you get up to the Xfinity Series, there's more than double that. Right now, there's probably 20 guys that are racing in equipment that's coming out of the cup shops. So the level of competition is very fierce, and these guys have a ton of experience. So you really have to learn, how to race against these guys in your racecraft. The weight of these race cars and the power is something you have to get used to, which it's not too bad. But it definitely has its challenges going from the K&N Series to the Truck Series or the Xfinity Series.
Okay. And talk a little bit about what it means to you to be with a team like JGL Racing, because they're a developmental team. They work with a lot of drivers that are developing. But you've done some really good things at that team and had some really good results there for the team as a whole.
Yeah, I've been having a blast this season. Everyone at JGL Racing is, they work so hard to improve each and every week. They're a great group of guys to get along with. And I think that starts at the top. Our owner, James Widener, he's a fun team owner, if I can put it that way. He comes out of the racetrack, and we go out and have dinner, and he always wants to go to the casino and have some fun. But he's just a true racer. He wants to get better, and I think our team is on the upswing. Realistically, we're about an 18th place car right now. However, we keep building our notebook each and every weekend, and we keep on trying new things, and it seems like we find a little bit of speed here and there each weekend. So I think this program's only on the upswing, which is really good, especially looking into next year. I've had a great time this year with these guys. However, I want to be full-time with the JGL group next year.
Okay, I think that's fantastic. And you were a member for 2 years of the NASCAR Next program, and I told James I wanted to talk to him a little bit about this as well. So maybe the two of you can kind of chime in here, but talk about the NASCAR Next program and what that has done for you as far as developing your career within NASCAR.
Yeah, I think the NASCAR Next is really good for two things. One, building relationships. The racing industry, it's all about who you know sometimes. And in the NASCAR Next program, I was introduced to a ton of people throughout the industry, from media to team owners to other drivers. So I was able to build a ton of relationships through that NASCAR Next program that made my transition from the K&N Series to the Xfinity Series a whole heck of a lot easier. Also, that NASCAR Next program really emphasizes on building a brand around you and being unique, so that when these fans are introduced to you they're able to learn you a little bit faster. So once you get up to the national series, they're already fans.
Absolutely. With that, I am going to hand the mic over to James Bickford now. He's our co-host for this week, and I know he's got questions for you, Dylan.
All righty.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with the Nashville Next program. It helped to build relationships, and it really puts you in front of the right people in terms of who you need to know inside the sport, which is fantastic. Now, Dylan and I both know it's not going to necessarily provide sponsorships. It's what you make of NASCAR Next. But they did teach us a lot of off-track qualities and values that we could apply into our racing in the future and building a brand around ourselves and our name. But leading into the next thing, you've already raced 9 times this year in the Xfinity Series, which is a lot compared to past years and almost half of the races. How has this helped you as a driver week by week, getting in the car more frequently than normal?
Yeah, I think you just sort of build a, you know, comfortability factor in the race car where when you show up, you know, there's no cobwebs that you got to shake off like when you're only in the car a month at a time. When you're in the car every single weekend, you know, you feel fresh and you have a good platform that you have built between you and your crew chief, your car chief, your spotter. And it seems like things just go a lot smoother when you're consistently in the race car and you're able to build on some momentum that you built up from last week. It's kind of hard when you get a really good finish and then you're out of the car for 5 to 6 weeks and then you almost have to start over again at that next track. So I think you just get a little bit more comfortable and the weekend just goes a lot smoother when you're in the car every weekend.
Yeah, I understand that. Now, you're historically good at road courses. How excited are you to head to Road America in the Xfinity Series?
I'm pretty excited. You know, these road courses have been a little bit of a struggle this year for finishes for us. You know, we run good at Watkins Glen when we got the track position. I believe we ran around like 10th to 12th. At Mid-Ohio, we're inside the top 10 a little bit and then around 11th. But we just don't have the finishes to show for them. In Mid-Ohio, we got crashed out with about 20 to go. So I'm really looking forward to getting back to a road course and kind of finishing off the good runs that we have had. And then I'm looking at the forecast, and it looks like it might rain. So that's definitely going to be interesting. I've never ran in the rain in a full-body stock car, but, you know, I know what you need to do coming from the go-kart side growing up. However, it's going to be interesting applying some of those techniques and disciplines to a full-body stock car if it does rain.
Yeah, that should be interesting. I'm sure you'll pick it up quick on your feet. Just stay on track, and it should end up in a good finish. Now, I'm going to throw it off topic a little bit and get off of racing. What is your favorite 90s jam? Just to get to know Dylan Lupton a little bit more.
Shoot, my favorite 90s jam, I don't even know if some 90s music. I'm just a big rock fan, so I'm trying to figure out 2000s and 90s and where to go from that. But let's just say, like, when I was growing up, I listened to a lot of, like, a lot of 80s band growing up from my dad. You know, a lot of Van Halen, a lot of Motley Crue. So I listened to a lot of that stuff when I was younger, and then I started going into, you know, some bands I liked.
Gotcha. I'll pass it over to Sharon, and I'm sure she'll bring it back on topic. Yeah, interesting stuff, and looking forward to seeing you at in the Xfinity Series at Iowa, or Road America.
All righty, sounds good.
Okay, now, actually, my next question was going to be kind of along that same line, James, because I was reading up a little bit earlier today, Dylan, and I saw that you have some hobbies that you like to do when you're not at the track. And I'm hoping you'll be willing to talk about some of those. What do you like to do when you're not at the track? Because you mentioned earlier that sometimes you've got that time in between races. So what keeps you busy?
Yeah, so, you know, I really enjoy going out on the lake, wakeboarding, during wintertime snowboarding. I wish I was able to ride dirt bikes here and there, but, you know, during the week, I really enjoy going to the gym, lifting weights. Back in Sacramento also, I've been doing some UFC training just to get in a good cardio shape. So I'm a big fan of working out during the week.
Okay, and that's great because that's good whether you're a race car driver or anybody for that matter. So that's fantastic to hear. I know you have a favorite band. Who's your favorite band to kind of go along with what James was just talking about?
Yeah, right now my favorite band is Five Finger Death Punch. So I've seen them. I saw them actually out here at Carolina Rebellion probably a year and a half ago, and then I'll see them the day after I race at Kansas back at home in Sacramento. But yeah, I'm a big fan, and I actually just got one of their logos tattooed on my arm. So I guess I'm a big fan of them.
Okay. When I see you at Chicagoland, you'll have to show me. You're going to be at Chicagoland?
That one isn't on my schedule. However, you know how racing works. I'll probably be there, and who knows, I might even have a fire suit on. So only time will tell, though.
Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye on that then. Now, let's bring it back into racing, I guess. Let's talk about is there any other racing that you're doing when you're not racing with JGL?
Right now, no. I drove a few Le Mans races before I kicked off the season with JGL at Richmond. I ran, I think, two or three Le Mans races, but since then I've only been in the Xfinity car. So I might pick up a late model race or two towards the end of the year, probably after Kansas, in between Kansas and Texas, or just after Texas, I might try to get in a few more races.
Okay. And you know, sometimes drivers talk about like a pre-race ritual that they go through. I know exercising is certainly part of that, but what's your pre-race ritual on race day?
I just try to eat, you know, get a good meal in. I'm really bad about eating. I have a million things running through my mind, so I have to force myself to sit down and eat. So I try to get in like some protein and like a chicken breast and rice or, a few sandwiches. But after that, I just try to get my mind off of things. If I sit down in the hauler and start thinking about how the race is going to play out or what I'm going to do, I'll drive myself crazy. So I'll just walk around outside in the garage and just go talk to my crew members, other drivers, just kind of get my mind, mind at ease and not all worked up before I get in the race car.
Okay, that's great. James, I'm going to kind of pass it back to you in case you've got any other questions you want to put out here.
Yeah, I have a quick one that's going to make you think a little bit. If you bought a lottery ticket, and I know the lottery's getting up pretty high, but pay was a little bit lower. If you won a lotto and took home $10 million, what would you do with it?
If I won $10 million, you said?
$10 million.
Well, I'd probably use my finance degree that I got from UNCC to kind of grow that to $100 million. That would be the goal, right?
yeah.
And then use that money to go race. But, it would be pretty nice to have a $10 million paycheck with my name on it. I probably wouldn't spend it all to racing, but, you know, I'd make a few smart investments and then leave a little bit to go have fun with on the weekends in one of these race cars.
You gotta lead us into more of the fun stuff. What would you buy for the rest of the money that you, you know, smartly invested and did a great job, you know, not spending all of it on racing, what would be the fun stuff?
Well, first I need a house. I need to get out of my parents' house right now. The problem is, you know, I'm never in one place at, you know, more than 3 months at a time, it seems like. So I was wanting to get a place back home at California, and then I have all these races, so I have to come out of Charlotte and can't get a place in Charlotte because I don't know what's down the road in 2 months. So it'd be nice to be able to you know, get my own house, and then after that, probably get a few toys to play with on the water, probably a wakeboard boat and some jet skis would be top of my list.
Gotcha. And so you're living in California or North Carolina right now, or just going back between the two?
Right now I'm in North Carolina for about 3 more weeks, and then I'll be back to California.
Gotcha. And describe the differences between the two in your opinion. What's been the hardest transition going from California to North Carolina and vice versa?
Oh, man, I have to say it's the humidity out here. I think when, you know, growing up in the 20-plus years I lived in California, it rained maybe 2 times I can remember in the summertime. And out here, it's rained pretty much every single day during summertime. So that's a little weird to get used to. But then it seems like, out here in Charlotte area, it's just such a small community built up of racers. And if you aren't in the racing world, you know somebody in the racing world, which is kind of cool. You know, you are able to build a bunch of great relationships and friendships out here. And I've made some lifelong friends just from living out here in Charlotte. But, yeah, you can't beat the weather and the food out there in California.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's a different now here. I've talked about it on last week's show. There's Waffle House. Are you a Waffle House fan?
I am not. I don't get the craze about Waffle House, to be honest. But
what is your North Carolina distinct restaurant that's your go to?
Oh shoot, distinct restaurant. You know what? I've been going to Pisces a lot in Mooresville, and it's a sushi hibachi place. And I'm not really a sushi fan. However, the hibachi there is really good. So I get I'll get half steak, half chicken, and some fried rice. And I'm a big fan of that place right now. I've been going there probably too often, but it's good.
Yeah, that's the difference moving, you know, 3,000 or almost 3,000 miles away from home is not the same food, not the same friends, family, et cetera. It's a huge change. So interesting switch over sushi. I'm going to throw it back over to Sharon and see if she has any final questions before we wrap it up here.
Okay. I'm going to kind of bring it back into racing a little bit here. Talk a little bit about I had a question and now I lost it that fast, Dylan.
No problem.
let's talk about Road America. You're going to be racing at Road America this weekend. How are you preparing for Road America? Racing. James tells me you're really good on the road course races. You're expecting rain this weekend. What are your expectations for going in there and what you think you can do with JGL this weekend in your car?
Yeah, so actually we had a meeting this morning about kind of the package we're going to take there, and it's going to be different than what we take in Mid-Ohio and Watkins Glen. You know, we know we can run fast and be a, you know, around a 10th place car at these road courses. However, we're going to try a different package this weekend, and I expect us to be really good. I'm really looking forward to Road America. It's a big, fast road course, and I know caution laps around there aren't fun because I think it's around like a 5-minute caution lap because the track's like 4.5 miles. But I'm really looking forward to getting back out of Wisconsin. And to prepare, probably tomorrow or the next day, I'll watch last year's race. And then the next day, I'll probably watch that rain race just so that I could have a lot of mental notes from the rain and then also from dry so that I can be prepared with whatever this weekend throws us.
Okay, and that sounds like perfect planning on your part to get ready for this weekend. Now, before you go, I always give the drivers a chance to do any shout-outs you want to do or, you know, make sure the fans know how they can follow you on social media.
Yeah, so fans can follow me at Lupton Dillon on Twitter and Instagram, and we also have a Facebook page, Dillon Lupton Racing. Also, for all the fans listening out there, we have NetUp Industries on board again. They're on board for my whole 2017 race schedule, and their social media platforms are at NetUp Industries, and their website is netupindustries.com. So fans can go out there and get some chopped flavored almonds and almond butter on their website.
Sounds good. So definitely, thanks for coming and talking with us, Dillon. Always fun to chat with you and catch up with you. And good luck out at Road America this weekend and the remainder of the Xfinity Series. We hope you get a chance to come back and talk before the end of the season, too.
Yeah, I'd love to be back on. Thanks for having me tonight.
Okay,
thank you.
It was a lot of fun. Okay, Dillon, take care and be safe out there. Okay, that was Dillon Lupton with JGL Racing. A fun interview with Dillon there. I think we kind of challenged him with some of the more personal questions there, but he did good.
Yeah, he did a great job. It's always fun to hear what the drivers do behind the scenes because, you know, you always see them at the racetrack. You always see them on TV, at the track, in the moment. Never really get a chance to hear much about what they do off the track. So it's really interesting to hear about his moves back from California to North Carolina. Also, what he would do with $10 million in his 90s gyms. I thought that was pretty cool, too.
Yep, kind of like Joey Denowitz a few years ago when he won the lottery and started his own race team. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah. I'm sure I do something along the lines of that as well.
Okay. Some interesting comments while we're kind of in between here, in between guests. Some interesting comments from Brad Keselowski last week. There was some media talking with him outside of his hauler, and he talked a little bit about that, that he's thinking about starting perhaps a Cup Series team. Any thoughts that you have there?
I had not heard that news yet, but I do think that's interesting. I know it's possible for low-budget Cup teams with the prize money the way that it is for them to get by week by week by just on the prize money and not necessarily sponsorship. The initial startup for that would be tough, but I'm sure that he has had an intricate plan that would lead him into having those ideas and coming out publicly about them. I wonder who his first driver would be. That would be my first question is who would be driving for him? Would it be himself, or would it be another driver looking for an opportunity to get out in the Cup Series?
You know, I kind of see Brad Keselowski being a little similar to what we see with Kyle Busch, because Kyle Busch is really great with developing drivers and bringing them up through the ranks in NASCAR. And I kind of get a feeling that maybe that's where Brad Keselowski's coming from as well. I don't know that, and he said that just because he said it doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to happen, say, next season. There's a lot of planning and pre-work that goes into that, but it's something that he certainly is exploring, and I thought that was pretty interesting to hear, because when I heard that he was shuttering the Camping World Truck Series team, I was really kind of disappointed at first, because I think he's done a lot to help other drivers come up through those ranks. And personally, I think I'm going to miss seeing Brad Keselowski racing out there on the track in the Truck Series.
Yeah, it's disappointing here. Now you have Red Horse Racing shutting down earlier this year, and now BKR. It's frustrating to see, but I'm sure that there's going to be somebody that fills the gap that they once left. It's going to be harder for teams to be competing with KVM when you have voids like that for drivers to be competing because there's not too many. You're really fighting on spots now for that top equipment, and that will definitely make it difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really an interesting dynamic that's taking place within NASCAR right now, and just kind of being on the outside looking in and watching it unfold, it's going to be interesting to see where all of this leads us as we move forward with the sport. I don't think by any means that the sport is going to like wither and die, but I do feel like it's in a transition, and when a transition happens, like is happening now, it's like anything else. There are peaks and valleys. While those transitions are taking place, it's usually a little bit of a valley. But I do see there's so many drivers like yourself, James, that are so talented and really need to be out there on the track racing that I can't imagine that, you know, there's not going to be opportunities down the road here once all of that kind of stabilizes.
Yeah, I just hope that sponsorship will get back to a premium and there will be more people interested in getting involved into racing from a dollar standpoint. I know that's a huge problem for a lot of drivers, especially like myself. When you see somebody out of a car and not racing, not driving, it's not because they're short of talent usually. It's usually because they're short of funds to get into the next level. And unfortunately, they're getting offers from teams, but those teams come with a dollar amount. Almost no matter what situation you're in, unless you're obviously a Cup driver or well-established Xfinity driver, there are no opportunities for drivers just to get into a car. That's not how it works. In this day and age, you have to, as a driver, you have to come with the funding with you. So it's extremely expensive. And it's extremely difficult to find that sponsorship as a driver. So it makes it difficult for guys like me. I mean, I have never stopped since I've gotten out of a car. I have never stopped trying to get back into a race car. It's not like I've ever stopped racing. It's just a continuous effort to get back into that position to compete at a high level again.
Exactly. And I've always said that even about the drivers that are not necessarily racing up front. It's not because they don't have the talent. It's because there's a difference in the equipment that those guys are racing versus the guys that are racing up front. And you're right. There's a lot of talent out there. And not all of that talent is sitting in the seat of a race car right now. But I do feel... I think that seeing all the fans that were in the stands at Bristol was really an encouraging sight to see. I think I saw more people in the stands there this week than I've seen there in a long time. So I think that's really encouraging. But let's get into your next guest, because I'm really looking forward to chatting with him. And I want you to do the build up in the intro here.
Gotcha. Yeah, this is Josh Williams. My relationship with him is he used to spot for me at some races where we'd have a combination. He's actually kind of a superstar spotter. He was once a pro golfer, had a relationship with Dale Earnhardt at an early age. When he was golfing, got an opportunity to get up on top of the spotter stand, did a great job with it, worked with a bunch of drivers. Now he is working with driver of the number 21 in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, and that is Ryan Blaney. So Josh Williams is up on the spotter stand calling all the shots for Ryan Blaney and making sure he stays clean on that racetrack. And he is just a well-rounded guy, amazing personality. and well liked by everybody in the garage area. So I look forward to chatting on him and having him on here. And he, like I said, he's had a few segments on Fox Sports and multiple different TV networks just because he's that interesting of a person. His background from where he came from to where he is now has just been an interesting story for everybody to follow along with, and which is why he is so celebrated in the NASCAR community.
Okay, and he's here now, so go ahead and move forward with that.
Hey, Josh, how's it going?
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Introduce yourself. Spotter, the number 21. First question is going to be right off the bat, spotting. What was the biggest challenge for you getting up on the spotter stand, going from golfing on a professional level to spotting on top of the spotter stand at such a competitive level?
So I'm Josh, spot for Ryan Blaney. I guess the biggest difference is just learning all the tricks, you know. I feel like spotting and golf in a way are similar with the attitude you have to have and being positive in certain situations and being calm in certain situations for the driver. So I feel like that part was easy, but just learning the ins and outs of every track and trying to be helpful was probably the biggest challenge of getting up there. But once you go everywhere once or twice, you kind of learn things and you're always learning and evolving, just trying to be better every time you go back somewhere.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Each track is different. They have their different characteristics, and even on a spotter stand, have to learn each one. Now, most of us have probably seen the show Radioactive on Fox. What has been the most interesting moment in your spotting career over the radio that you've heard in from a driver or you've had yourself?
Oh, man, I don't know. So many of those things are really personality-oriented. You know, you get some drivers that joke around and play on the radio, and then you get some guys that are super serious. But for us, we were on last week in Michigan, and it was kind of interesting because we had a little incident there. We tired her down the front stretch, and we were racing Harvick, so we had a discussion over the radio what happened, and it ended up being our original discussion and thoughts weren't what actually happened. So we kind of had a little long conversation there that kind of got confusing because at first we were talking about that we thought Kevin got into us, which he never did. So then we had the opposite conversation of what actually did happen. So I guess things like that are pretty cool that you get to hear things play out with drivers, crew chiefs, and spotters. So to me, I really enjoy the Radioactive shows and stuff like that to hear everybody else.
Yeah, it must be pretty entertaining from the top of the stand. Now, there was a big moment that was in a lot of stories that you were firsthand hearing was I believe it was Phoenix when Ryan Blaney and Dale Jr. might have gotten into it. What was your take from that?
Yeah, so it's like anything. When you're faster, you catch a guy and you expect him to help you out and let you go, but everybody's there to race, so people don't always. And Fred, our deal in Phoenix, so we were good on the short run, but we struggled on the long run. And we called Junior after a restart, and he wouldn't let us by for 6 or 7 laps and was defending his position like he should. And Ryan was getting frustrated with that. So he called Junior certain few words, and it kind of got blown up. But he didn't mean it personal, but in the heat of the moment, you get upset with things. So he said one bad word, and everybody played it out for a month. But stuff like that, it's funny going back and listening to it. Because it's not, you got to understand drivers, you understand this, but drivers are, their heart rate is 150 beats per minute, so they're amped up. So anything that happens is going to be amplified that much more. So kind of have to take it with a grain of salt and not take it personal at the moment.
Yeah, and in the moment, it's not really a funny situation. You're competitively trying to race for a win. So it becomes a situation where you look back at it and, oh, that was pretty funny. But, you know, up on the stand or on top of the box inside the car, it's not a funny moment. And it's only funny once you see drivers' reactions after the race is already finished and the heat of the moment is gone. But anyways, I'll pass it on to Sharon. I'm sure she has some questions. Usually, I don't think we've had too many spotters on this show. So definitely new territory and see what she has to ask.
Cool.
Okay, Josh. First of all, thanks so much for being here. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to come on. I kind of want to take a step back and talk a little bit because I read a little bit today about your past, and being at the racetrack is something that you've grown up with. And I want to give the fans a flavor for your past and how you got into spotting.
Yeah, so I've been around racing since I was 6 months old. My dad actually sold merchandise and souvenirs for Dale Earnhardt Sr. So he started doing that when I was 6 months old. So I pretty much grew up being at a racetrack or around it. And I guess when I became 11 or 12, I started playing golf and knowing drivers and stuff through my dad. I had relationships with them, and most drivers enjoy playing golf. So I started giving lessons when I got older. And one of the guys I was giving lessons to was Scott Speed. And we played golf all the time, and when he left Red Bull, he needed a spotter. So it was kind of a way to get me to the racetrack to help him with golf lessons. He asked me to spot for him. So when we first started, we would have practice on Friday, play golf all day Saturday during the Xfinity race, and then I would spot on Sundays with him, not really knowing what I was getting into, just really to make some money and be there to help him with his golf game. And then once I started doing it, I really got into it and enjoyed it and realized it was something I wanted to do. So we continued with that instead of golf.
Okay. And he must have been a good teacher because it was enough that you got up there and you're pretty good at it. Talk a little bit about what it feels like to be a spotter, because I have had a chance to talk with a few other spotters. Rocky Ryan is one of the spotters I've talked with. And there are certain tracks that are pretty intense and other tracks that aren't as intense. But talk about because there's a lot of communication between the spotters up there. Talk about that a little bit and how you manage all of that, because a lot of that happens on the track, happens so quickly that you guys have to react pretty quickly as well.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some places that are really tough, but that to me, that's the places I enjoy the most. I feel like as a spotter, you're probably the closest to the competition side that you can be other than driving. And then you go to some places like Talladega and Daytona where, in a sense, you're kind of helping drive the car, suggesting kind of what the driver should do or where he should go. So to me, that's the coolest part is I can never go out and drive. Like, that's crazy. But as my job, I can be as close as I can do to it compared to anybody else on our team. So to me, that's the funnest part is being in the driver's ear, being in the competition side of it, and trying to help it the bigger tracks. I love Daytona or Talladega. Those are my favorite. But then you go to places like Bristol or Martinsville, things happen so quick, and you don't really have time to think about what you're going to do. It's all reactionary. So to me, that's a pretty cool part of it. It's hard to communicate with other spotters in places like that just because things do happen so quick. But you try to relay something later on that the driver asks you to or under cautions help them out with things are happening. But it's a pretty tight-knit group up there. You work with the same guys every week. So it's almost like you have 40 brothers, which is good and bad. But everybody's a really good group of guys, and everybody works together for everybody, really. You try to cut everybody a break and help them out any way you can.
Absolutely. And do you guys have hand signals like the drivers do down on the track?
Yeah, we do. Some are good, some are bad. But we have certain signals that everybody knows certain things, what they mean, especially during practice with, like, practice qualifying runs and during qualifying. That's became a big part of spotting is trying to get a good hold for qualifying because that's important these days. So we have hand signals and things that are good, and then we have some that are not so good. But everybody kind of has the same lingo with that.
Right, right. And it's probably the same as it is for the drivers who are in that heat of the moment. It's all forgotten when everything is said and done, for the most part.
Absolutely. Exactly.
Okay. And I know James kind of asked you about some of your, intense moments and stuff like that. Do you have a favorite memory as a spotter?
Probably this year when we won at Pocono. That was a pretty cool memory. It was a interesting circumstances. Ryan's radio quit working in the middle of the race, so he could never talk back to us. So the whole race, he was actually doing hand signals with the crew chief when he was coming down the front stretch. And I was pretty much talking to myself because he would never respond. So that was different than normal. But it ended up being the race we won this year so far. So that's a cool memory to have. And the way everything played out that way, it just makes it a little more special just with having communication issues and being able to overcome that.
Okay, and I know the relationship between the driver and the spotter, there has to be a lot of trust there. And I know they had recently had some conversations about this, even on like NASCAR America. But I want to get your thoughts about, you know, the relationship between you and your driver and how you continue to build that throughout a season or over
Absolutely.
The years.
Absolutely. Yes, me and Ryan are open book. Whenever we have a problem, we sort it out Monday morning. So anything that could be better, anything that could be worse, anything he likes, anything he didn't like, we're wide open and honest with each other. That's the only way to be better. So about every Monday, we'll talk or text, and if there's something he likes, something he didn't. But you work with this guy so much, you become – it's almost like a brother relationship, like I said about all of us on the spotter stand. So you understand his ins and outs, and we've been together 3 years now. So you kind of understand when you need to be quiet, when you need to talk more, when you need to be a cheerleader, when you need to calm it down. So it's all just evolving. It's a relationship pretty much. So come friends away from track, and I think that helps with your trust and just keep doing the best job you can of being honest. Honesty is always the best deal with that.
Okay. And then I also want to get into, you mentioned that you play golf, and you're quite good at the golf that you play, good enough to train other people how to play. Is that something that you still do on the side when you're not at the track?
I do occasionally. Up until last year, I still played professionally on our weeks off or during the week. And last year with Ryan going full-time, it kind of took away from some of my golf time. So I kind of cut out the tournaments and just played on my free time. But I'm actually thinking about trying to get back into playing more tournaments now and seeing how it goes, but I definitely play as much as I can, practice as much as I can, coach people. I coach a lot of people within our team that need it, or their wives, try to help them with lessons. So I really enjoy it. I love playing as much as I can, and I miss that I don't get to play as many tournaments, but I really love what I do.
Okay. It's a love on both sides there.
Absolutely.
Now, let me ask you this, too, because I thought I read, and maybe I'm confused here, so forgive me for that, please. But I thought I read that you also drove a few races.
I ran some legacy cars, and I raced Bandoleros, and I raced arena cars, but that's been 10 years from now, so 10 years ago. So it's been a while, but I have a little driving experience. I wouldn't call it a career. I'd call it more of a hobby back in the day.
Okay, and I guess the question behind that is, does that help you at all as a spotter, knowing the feeling behind the wheel?
I say definitely, yeah. Anytime you can kind of correlate to what the driver's going through or the senses he has in the car, it definitely helps. Obviously, I've never been to the tracks he's been on, so I don't really know what he's feeling or stuff like that, but I understand what he can see and what, if he's struggling, what he may be looking for from somebody else, so I can help him with the lines and kind of, you can tell when somebody's struggling and needs a little help. So I feel like from being in that situation before, I can help him quicker instead of when he asks for help, I can already be there helping him. So it definitely helps, probably not as much as some other guys that's raced. There's a lot of spotters that's raced in the Cup Series or Xfinity Series, and they have to help a lot.
Okay, that's really good. Thank you for sharing that. And I guess I did have a few questions, James, so I'm going to throw it back to you.
Yeah, and the race part. Now, we know William Byron came off of sim racing. I'm sure Josh knows where I'm leading with this question. Josh is actually an extremely talented sim racer on iRacing, like ridiculously talented, beating almost anybody you line up in front of him. Now, with that, if you got an opportunity, saying it's an off weekend and Ryan's not racing and you don't have a spotting opportunity, Would you get into a late model just to try it, to get into a stock car and make some runs?
I would love to, but I am also a very realist, and I realistically realize that iRacing is not the real thing. So just because I can play on my computer, I'm not like some people that think that that's a career. So I'll stick to playing my video games.
Do you think you'd be – I mean, I haven't really gone extensively into your background driving personally, but do you think you'd be able to be competitive after a little bit of time behind the wheel in a stock car?
I don't think I would embarrass myself. I think it would take a little time, but I think I could do it. I'm not – I understand the ins and outs of what it takes, so I wouldn't be – I don't think I'd be a weapon, but I would. It would definitely be a huge feel. So that would be the big question is if I could – feel what you can feel and maximize the car, but I don't know. That's a tough one. You'd have to be in the situation, I guess.
Yeah, and you've definitely had plenty of time watching cars go around and seeing the different lines they run. It's just a matter of getting behind the wheel. But leading into the next thing, so you say that golf has definitely helped you up on the spotters. Go a little bit more into detail of how the game of golf correlates with racing in general.
To me, it's just the mentality of being able to be calm. In golf, you're kind of out there on your own island for 5 hours, and that's almost what drivers go through, except for they have a button they can push and talk to me or their coach. So I understand the feeling of it being all on you and that part. But I think the biggest thing for me is mentally. Like, when I play golf, so much of it is a mental game and being able to control your emotions and not get too high and too low. And it's hard to realize that, I guess, when you're in the moment. Like, a driver doesn't realize when he's too high or too low. But as a spotter, you can tell that. So I feel like that helps come from that background, to be able to kind of calm them down or pump them up when they need to and realizing that.
Got it. And now, just a fun question. We'll ask about more people, but how are Ryan Blaney's golf skills? I'm sure you've been on the course with him before.
We played some. He hadn't played in about a year, but he tried to play and learn. He gets frustrated, so he just quit. There's other things he'd rather do, like drink beer, than go play golf with me for 5 hours.
Now, who's the best crew member that you caught on the 21 team?
Do what?
Who's the best crew member? Because you said you've given lessons to people on the 21 team, to different crew members. Who's the best one that you've ever caught, the most talented out on the golf course?
Our crew chief's pretty good. He can shoot mid-70s when he gets to play. He's obviously busy now, but he's pretty good. He's probably the best out of all of our guys.
I'm assuming he picked it up pretty quick.
Yeah, he used to play a lot, and that's actually how we met. And then now that we get to go play a little more often, he's good.
Gotcha. And getting away from that a little bit, how did you and Ryan Blaney, how did you guys meet? How did that connection become formed? Was it just being at the track with other drivers, and you guys built a relationship, and it kind of led off from there?
Yeah, actually, it's kind of through our crew chief. Me and him had known each other for a while, and when he was going over to Ryan, they were looking for a spotter, so he kind of suggested me to Ryan, and then Ryan listened to me some back when I was with AJ before him. So it's kind of came from our crew chief and Ryan listening to me. I guess he liked me, so we started hanging out and becoming friends, and then I started with him when he went to the 21 Cup car.
Awesome. And that's obviously a great person to be involved with. Now starting with him and I believe the Truck Series and all the way up into the Cup Series now and competitively running and winning races now. Describe to people the differences from driver personality and how you have to change as a spotter from driver to driver, because you're not just spotting for Ryan Blaney usually on a weekend basis. You have to jump from driver to driver like you did with me at a few races. Describe the differences that you face going from driver to driver and switching up how you talk and how you give information.
It just depends on who you're working with. If you're working with a rookie, obviously you need to help them with the basics of a place they've never been with. But then you go with somebody like Ryan that's been everywhere 5 or 6 times now. He kind of understands that. So if you're with a rookie, you try to help him more than what you would with Ryan, like with whether it's lanes or how the track may react and stuff like that, or Ryan kind of already has that in his notes. He knows what he's getting into. So I feel like with Ryan, you're a little more with the basic stuff, and you go with a rookie up as much as you can in a short period of time, especially if it's a guy you're only working with for the white one weekend.
Yeah, exactly. And you have to change as a spotter and change and go from person to person and change up your style of spotting before. Now, with Ryan, if he were to have radio communications go out again during a race and him win again, how does that change your perspective on winning races? Does that become a superstition if that were to happen again?
Hey, I'll take a win if we can talk or not. I don't care how that worked out.
Yeah, exactly.
Our stuff don't work this weekend or next weekend, and we win, then let's just unplug it every week.
Exactly, because if he's not talking on the radio and you guys win races, I know that racing's superstitious in general. I wonder if that would make you superstitious. Winning is always the goal.
Absolutely, yeah. If it works that way again, then we'll have to find out a way to make it not work every week. So I'm definitely, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
Exactly. And I guess if that works, then why not? Ryan, I'm not sure why your radio went out. But we won the race, so we're all good.
Keep cutting wires every week.
Now, Ryan has a podcast, Glass Case in Motion. Has he ever invited you to be on that show with him or be as a guest?
Not yet. Problem is he films it on Monday. So normally he's tired of hearing me talk after all day on Sunday. So I haven't been on there yet. I'm sure I will eventually. But he's had some pretty good guests on there. So I'll let them guys take all the show.
Yeah. Is that something that you'd be interested in?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That'd be fun.
Yeah, it's if anybody hasn't listened to it, Ryan Blaney has a podcast with two other co-hosts, one of them Kim Kuhn, and I'm not sure who the other – what is the other host's name?
Chuck Bush. He works at NASCAR.
And they have guests ranging from Dale Jr. to Jeff Gordon to obviously Bubba Wallace, and that's where they talk for about 45 minutes, and it's really interesting. They take it off topic. It's very off racing. I'm sure Josh would be a very entertaining and exciting guest to have on there with the communications that they've had back and forth over this water. But you guys would have some fun. I would definitely listen in. I'm sure the viewers listening now would listen in. But anyways, I'll give it back to Sharon. I'm sure she has some closing remarks and thoughts before we have to wrap it up here.
Cool.
Okay. Well, first of all, Josh, I want to say thank you so much again for being here with us tonight. It's been a fun conversation, and we hope you keep us in mind for coming back somewhere down the road here. But before you go, I just want to kind of talk about the Wood Brothers racing, because of all the teams that you could have worked with, I think this was the perfect team for you. Can you explain for our listeners why?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Wood Brothers are based out of Stuart, Virginia, and I was born and lived in Martinsville, Virginia, up until about 3 years ago. So growing up, the Wood Brothers were only 20 minutes from my family's house, so they're always kind of the home team. So it's really cool to kind of throw it back with the Wood Brothers, since I got to watch them all growing up and then them being the home team. So it's really cool to get them a win, because that was their 99th win that we had there in Pocono. So that part's really cool to kind of add to their legacy. But working with the Wood Brothers the last 3 years has been amazing. They're all awesome people that I've known for a while, and very, very lucky to get to work with them.
Absolutely. Now, since that was the 99th win, do you guys have something special planned for the 100th win, just in case it's Ryan Blaney?
Absolutely. I hope so. We haven't really got anything planned yet, but I'm sure we'll have a good time. 99 was fun. 100's got to be bigger, right?
Absolutely. You never know. It could be this weekend, right? Well, not this weekend, but... Well,
next weekend, hopefully, yeah. Darlington would be a cool place for them to win at.
Next weekend.
Yeah, that'd be cool. We're running an old 1986 car there, so that'd be neat.
Awesome. Well, before you go, I want to give you a chance to give any shout-outs that you want to give and let fans know what your social media handles are, because I'm sure you picked up somebody as a new fan tonight.
Sure, yeah. So I just want to thank you guys for letting me be on here. James asked me this weekend, anything I can do for him, you know, I'll help him out. So appreciate you having me, and I will come back whenever you want. And you can follow me on Twitter at Josh T. Williams. And I think that's my Instagram, too. I don't know. But it's all on my Twitter profile, so click on there.
Okay. Well, again, good luck with the rest of this season. You know, I've got more questions for you, but I'll save it for the next time you come on. And definitely looking forward to that. And, you know, be safe out there.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, take care now.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Okay, you too. And James, again, that was a fun conversation that we had there with Josh Williams. He seems like a really cool guy.
Yeah, he's awesome. I've worked with him at Phoenix, Sonoma, Iowa, and he's helped me tremendously as a driver. Any driver that has him up on top of the spotter stand, helping is a chance or to be more competitive than they would have been before. He's so great with information, so great with what he does. And I look forward to seeing him and Ryan have more success in the future. And hopefully when I get back into the car, he can be back on the spotter stand for me. So really interesting story he has. If you go on Fox Sports and you look up Josh Williams, spotter, you'll see a story in the segment that they had. It's a really, really great story to watch, very, very descriptive, and goes more into Josh's career and how he was involved in racing before. And I just think he is a great personality to have around the garage area. And it's really great that we got to talk to him. I'm really thankful that he had a chance to come on the show. I saw him at Bristol actually running to the garage area, and I just bumped into him and said, "Hey, would you be interested on coming on to the show on Monday?" And he, of course, said, "Yeah, sure thing." And he's in Martinsville right now, and he still took some time. So very, very great personality.
He really is. And one thing I do notice about a lot of the spotters is they have a very calming voice, which I think is another thing that's really needed for drivers, to have that calming voice in their ear when they're on the racetrack. So, you know,
yeah.
Thank you for your part in bringing him to the show. Go ahead. You had something more you wanted to say on that? Uh-oh, I think I lost James Bickford there. I didn't get a chance to tell him, but I was in the process of doing that, of just saying thank you to James Bickford for being the co-host last week and this week. He's going to be with us one more week, next week again, and he's done a lot to bring guests onto the show for us, and it's been a lot of fun. And I want to make sure if he's listening that he knows how much we appreciate the support that he's given us and will continue to give us into next Monday's show. We will be back here next Monday night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time for Fan for Racing NASCAR and Race Talk Review. And we'll be talking about the racing at Road America as well as Douglas County Speedway for the Can-Am Pro Series. And it'll be the ARCA Racing Series as well as the Xfinity Series that's going to be racing at Road America this weekend. So a lot of racing to look forward to. I will be on air this Thursday night starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time with Jay Huseman and J.M.J. Huseman. And we'll be doing the preview for that. From 8:30 to 10 p.m. on Thursday night. That's our NASCAR weekend preview. So, again, thanks, everybody, for listening. We appreciate each and every one of our listeners. I appreciate James and Sal. If you're listening, we miss you. And we will look forward to having you back in September. So definitely looking forward to that. Again, thank you to all of our guests for tonight. We had Grant Infinger, the winner of the ARCA Racing Series. We had Dylan Lupton, who drives for JGL Racing in the Xfinity Series. And we had Josh Williams, the spotter for Ryan Blaney at Wood Brothers Racing, one of the icons in NASCAR racing in the Cup Series. So, again, everybody have a great week this week. Look forward to the show on Thursday and the race weekend coming up. And we'll see you again here on Thursday night. Take care and enjoy. Good night.